These are sprinkles. March, 1913. The meteorologists study meteorologically. The meteorologists were surprised. March 23, 1913. 250,000 persons driven from their homes, torrents falling, rivers rising, in Ohio. The floods at Dayton, Ohio, were especially disastrous. Traffics of bodies, in the watery streets of Dayton. The wind whistles, and holds up a cab. They stop. Night and the running streets are hustling bodies, but, coming, is worse than the sights of former beings, who never got anywhere in life, and are still hurrying. The wreck of a trolley car speeds down an avenue, down a side street rushes a dead man. Let him catch the car, and he'll get about where all his lifetime he got catching other cars. A final dispatch from Dayton. Dayton in total darkness. March 23, 24, 25. A watery sky set on the Adirondack Mountains. It began to slide. It ripped its slants on a peak, and the tops of lampposts disappeared in the streets of Troy and Albany. Literary event, at Patterson, NJ. Something that was called the Great Cloudburst grabbed a factory chimney, and on a ruled page of streets scrawled a messy message. With the guts of horses and other obscenities, it put in popularizing touches. The list of dead, in Columbus, Ohio, would probably reach 1,000. Connecticut River rising rapidly. Delaware River, at Trenton, NJ, 14 feet above normal. March 26th. In Parkersburg, West Virginia, people who called on their neighbors, rowed boats to second-story windows. If they had in their cellars what they have nowadays, there was much demand for divers. New lakes in Vermont, and the state of Indiana was an inland sea. Farmers caught napping. Surprises everywhere, napping everywhere. Wherever science was, there was a swipe at a sleep. Floods in Wisconsin, floods and destruction in Illinois and Missouri. March 27th. See the New York Tribune, of the 28th, that the Weather Bureau was issuing storm warnings. The professional wise men were not heard from, before this deluge. Some of us would like to know what they had to say, afterward. They said it, in the Monthly Weather Review, April, 1913. The story is told completely. The story is told, as if there had been exceptional rains, only in Ohio and four neighboring states. Reading this account, one thinks as one should think of considerable, or of extraordinary, rain, in one smallish region, and of its derivation from other parts of this earth, where unusual sunshine had brought about unusual evaporations. Canada, and it was not here that the sun was shining. Waters falling and freezing, in Canada, loading trees and telegraph wires with ice, power houses flooded, and towns in darkness, crashes of trees, heavy with ice. California was drenched. Torrents falling, in Washington and Oregon. Unprecedented snow in Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. Alabama deluged. Floods in Florida, Ohio, and four neighboring states. Downpours in France and in other parts of Europe. Spain. Seems that, near Valencia, one of these nights, there was a rotten theatrical performance. Such a fall of big hailstones that a train was stalled. Vast tragedy on, in a black cloak, posing on the funnel of an engine car. Windows that were footlights, and disapproval was expressing with the looks of millions of pigeons' eggs. Anyway, near Valencia, a fall of hail, 3 feet deep, stopped trains. Just where was all that sunshine? South Africa moving pictures of the low degree of the now old-fashioned cereals. Something staged clutching hands. There were watery grabs from the sky at Colesberg, Maysburg, and Prisca. The volume of one of these bulks equaled 1/10 of the total rainfall in South Africa, in 1 year. Snow, 2 months before its season, was falling in the Andes. Floods in Paraguay, and people spreading in panics. Government vessels carrying supplies to homeless, starving people. River Uruguay rising rapidly. Heavy rains in the Fiji Islands. The rains in Tasmania, during the month of March, were 26 points above the average. Upon the first day of the floods in Ohio and four neighboring states, March 22, began a series of terrific thunderstorms in Australia. There was a rain blizzard in New South Wales. In Queensland, all mails were delayed by floods. New Zealand. Wellington Evening Post, March 31. The greatest disaster in the history of the colony. Where there had been sluggish rivers, bodies of countless sheep tossed in woolly furies. Maybe there is a vast, old being named God, and reported strands of tossing sheep were glimpses of his whiskers, in one of those wraths of his. In the towns, there were fantastic savageries. Wherever the floods had been before, it looks as if they had been to college. One of them rioted through the streets of Gore, having broken down store windows. It roistered with the bodies of animals, wrapped in lace curtains, silks, and ribbons. Down the Mature River sounded a torrent of terrible cries. It was a rush of drowning cattle. It was a delirium of brandishing horns, upon which invisible collegians were blowing a fanfare. Ohio and four neighboring states. The clip of Paraguay, and the bob of New Zealand, the snip of South Africa, and the shearing of everything else that did not fit in with the theory. Whoever said that the pen is mightier than something else, overlooked the mightiest of all, and that's the scissors. Wherever all this water was coming from, the full account is of North America and four neighboring continents. Peaches flying from orchards, in the winds of New Zealand, icicles clattering in the streets of Montreal. The dripping palms of Paraguay and the pine trees of Oregon were mounds of snow. At night this earth was a black constellation, sounding with panics. I can think of the origin of the ocean that fell upon it in not less than constellational terms. Perhaps Orion or Taurus went dry. If a place, say in China, greatly needs water, and if there be stores of water, somewhere else, in one organism, I can think of relations of requital, as I think of need and response in any lesser organism, or suborganism. Need of a camel and storages and reliefs. Hibernating bear and supplies from his storages. At a meeting of the Royal Geographical Society, December 11, 1922, Sir Francis Young Husband told of a drought, in August, 1906, in western China. The chief magistrate of Chungking prayed for rain. He put more fervor into it. Then he prayed prodigiously for rain. It began to rain. Then something that was called the water spout fell from the sky. Many of the inhabitants were drowned. In the organic sense, I conceive of people and forests and dwindling lakes all expressing a need, and finally compelling an answer. By prayers I mean utterances by parched mouths, and also the rustlings of dried leaves and grasses. It seems that there have been responses. There are two explanations. One is that it is the mercy of God. For an opinion here, see the data. The other is that it is an organism that is maintaining itself. The British government has engineered magnificently for water supply in Egypt. It might have been better to plant persuasive trees and clergymen in Egypt. But clergymen are notoriously eloquent, and I think that preferable would be less excitable tipsters to God, who could convey the idea of moderation. In 1 year the fall of rain, at Norfolk, England, is about 29 inches. In Simon's Meteorological Magazine, 1889, p. 101, Mr. Simons told of this fall of water of 29 inches in a year, and then told of volumes of water to depths of from 20 to 24 inches that had fallen, from May 25 to the 28, 1889, in New South Wales, and of a greater deluge 34 inches that, from the 29th to the 30th, had devastated Hong Kong. Mr. Simons called attention to these two bursts from the heavens, thousands of miles apart, saying that they might, or might not, be a coincidence, but that he left it to others to theorize. I point out that a professional meteorologist thought the occurrence of only two deluges, about the same time, but far apart, remarkable, or difficult to explain in terms of terrestrial meteorology. It was left a long time to others. However, when I was due to appear, I appeared, perhaps right on scheduled time, and I got Australian newspapers. The Sydney newspapers told of the soak in New South Wales. I learned that all the rest of Australia was left to others or was left, waiting for me to appear, right on scheduled time, most likely. Not rain, but columns of water fell near the town of Avoca, Victoria, and, in the Melbourne Argus, the way of accounting for them was to say that a waterspout had burst here. There were wide floods in Tasmania. Fields turned to blanks that were then lumpy with rabbits. There had been drought in Australia, and floods were a relief to a necessity, but the greater downpour in China interests us more in conditions in China. It was a time of direst drought and extremest famine in China. Homeward Mail, June 4. That, in some of the more cannibalistic regions, sales of women and children were common. It is said to be almost impossible for anybody to devour his own child. Parents exchanged children. Down upon monstrous need came relief that was enormous. At Hong Kong, houses collapsed under a smash of alleviation. A fury of mercy tore up almost every street in the colony. The people had prayed for rain. They got it. Godness so loved Hong Kong that in the town's morgue it stretched out 16 of the inhabitants. At Canton, every pietist proclaimed the efficacy of prayer, and I think he was right about that, but the problem is to tone down all this efficacy. If we will personify what I consider an organism, what he, or more likely she, has not, is any conception of moderation. The rise of the river, at Canton, indicated that upcountry there had been catastrophic efficacy. At Canton, efficacy was so extreme that for months the people were rebuilding.